medication, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. DT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood. Sports Talk driven by LongpineAuto.com. Tim Miller, in case you're wondering, well, he's in Lawrence hanging out with the folks that are hanging around for game day and getting ready for what will be a matchup of two unbeatens, two nationally ranked teams as Kansas takes on TCU. That game has an 11 o'clock kickoff, and we'll join the coverage at 9:30 this morning with the Crimson and Blue Show. A lot going on in Lawrence, a lot going on across the state of Kansas, and including Emporia State at home this afternoon against Central Missouri. That's a 1 o'clock kick. K-State tonight, they're at Iowa State. Last night, high school football action. Emporia High at home last night. At halftime, you're thinking, okay, come out in the second half, put together a strong second half. Unfortunately, that didn't happen for the Spartans as they end up losing to Wichita East 54-15, and we're joined now by Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle. He joins us on the Sutherland studio line. Coach, last night, Wichita East scores the first two touchdowns of the game, but your ball club battled back. They scored a couple touchdowns before halftime. Going into the locker room, you had to feel like that maybe a little bit of momentum for your team, but unfortunately it just didn't carry over out of the locker room.
Yeah, that's one thing we talked to him about at half is, you know, hey, we kind of spotted them, potentially a score, if not two, you know, and we're right where we want to be. You know, took a little bit of a gamble with the onside and thought we would have it, you know, and we did recover it. Unfortunately, you know, they called us for blocking too early. But that's exactly right. You know, thought our guys came out and played pretty well. Just like we said last night, got to continue to be more consistent.
Coach, after that turnover on downs on that first possession of the second half, did you feel like you had a little confidence there?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, our guys were pretty excited. You know, I told them last night, it felt like we had an energy that we hadn't had, you know, basically since week one. And I think it showed. You know, our guys came out and they were ready to go. And, you know, that was a huge moment right there. You know, with that, though, we had, you know, kind of our own momentum killers. You know, we get way up, and then one thing happens, and it snowballs from there. Kind of a little bit of the consistency key we've been talking about. You know, bad things are going to happen. We know that. It's, you know, it comes back to how we're going to respond from those things.
Can you talk a little bit about Jalen King? And he made his debut last night, and he scores his first touchdown of the season. A young man that moved into town and pretty athletic and versatile, and just was able to return some kicks last night as well. But talk about Jalen, because he had a solid night in his debut.
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, you know, he's a great kid. You know, he's one of those kids you always want to have around. I don't think I've seen him have a bad day yet. You know, that's something that is pretty special. You know, it's always a yes sir, no sir, you know. Every day, I'm lucky enough to have him in my homeroom class. So every day he comes in, hey, coach, how's it going? Good morning. You know, it's just one of those guys you enjoy having around. Not on top of that, you know, he's got a ton of athletic talent. You know, he doesn't shy away from contact. You know, he likes making contact. And, you know, as we could tell last night, he's very athletic. So, you know, we knew we had to get him the ball, just, you know, give some of our guys a chance. It got us into a set that I didn't know that I would ever do, and we went empty last night. But, you know, with that, you know, we've got to get our best guys on the field and try to get them the ball. You know, we were in practice Tuesday, and I was looking for receivers to put in, and I, you know, kind of realized with Coach Power and Coach Breckheisen that, you know, our best guy, we can't afford not to have them on the field. So that's what we did, and I think we had a little success in it.
you mentioned having your best players available. Unfortunately, you had one of your better players not available, as Bobby Trujillo was out of the game last night. He didn't get a chance to play. He's going through some challenges. I guess we could say concussion protocol is what he's going through. Hopefully, you can get him back before the season's over with.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tough because it does pain him, you know, not being able to be out there. But, you know, he's getting better, and he's, you know, he'll be ready to go as soon as we get it back. Just, you know, like we told him and told, you know, any guy who goes through that, we've got to take care of those first. You know, that's not something to ever mess around with. You know, I know I've had mine, probably more than I'm proud of, but it's something you got to make sure you do right. And, you know, Heather does a great job with that. And, you know, our kids understand that too, you know, so it'll be nice to have, you know, him get back out there. And, you know, hopefully there's a couple other guys. You know, I know Fred Jackson's itching to get back. You know, and we would love it. We're loving and looking forward to having those guys back. It's just a matter of time.
Is Fred looking like he might be getting closer to rejoining the team?
You know, I think there's a chance. You know, honestly, it's just going to depend on what doctors and, you know, surgeons, et cetera, say, because, you know, they know it a lot more than I do. But, you know, we got to listen to what they say, trust what they say, and, you know, make sure we make a good decision. Hopefully, you know, we'll see him before the end of the year.
You're down to the final two games, I guess you could say, of the regular season, weeks 7 and 8. Of course, week 9 is basically the first round of the playoffs, and your team's still in a position to make a nice little run at the end of the season. And, you know, you have seasons where the results aren't going the way you were hoping they would go. And you always wonder, how's the team going to handle that? Have you been pleased with the way this team has battled through its adversity and, you know, not winning some games and being close in some other games? Have they handled that well?
You know, they really have. You know, the overall, you know, potentially just winning and losing, I think our guys have done a phenomenal job with it. Really, you know, the adversity in games, I think, is something we've got to get better at. But, you know, we've been down in the count. We know that. We've had to move guys into positions where they, you know, weren't a starter, or they haven't had a ton of reps, or it's a complete position change. And, you know, and never once was it guys, they shy away from it or they're not sure or anything like that. It's nope, hey, we got to do this. Let's get ready to go. We'll keep getting better, and that's what we're going to do. So, you know, I told them last night, they didn't quit. You know, they haven't done that. And, I told them right in our meeting at the end, I said, I don't think you have it in you. And I firmly believe that. I don't think they do. So, you know, we're excited. We're a great team. We're going to play Friday. And, you know, got to get ready for that one. And really kind of look forward to setting up week 9. You know, there's, you know, a few teams that the way it's kind of matching up right now, we're looking forward. We could be pretty excited to play and give us a pretty good shot.
Did you have any other positives that you saw last night that you haven't seen yet out of these guys?
You know, I just, you know, As a whole, you know, I think our offensive line, I think, protected pretty well. Honestly, they were facing some pretty good rush. So I thought our receivers, you know, they did a nice job sitting down in windows, getting open. And, you know, Sheldon at the same time, you know, later, yeah, we started getting a lot of pressure. They started dialing it up, trying to get us out of what we were doing. And it did. But a lot of times, you know, he'd step up, he kept his eyes downfield, and he knew that the pressure was coming. He knew he was probably going to have to stand in there and take a couple hits, and he did that, you know. So, you know, I saw a couple of our younger guys on defense who got a chance to play tonight, or last night, excuse me, didn't do too bad. You know, we've got some areas to fix, just like, you know, we do all over. But it was nice to see some of those younger guys step up when their number was called and, you know, put their best effort forward.
Well, you have Washburn Rural coming up on Friday night. They're coming off a impressive 66-6 win over Topeka High. Well, what is it that stands out about Washburn Rural?
You know, for me, I've been very well coached since I've been around. They do a nice job there. They've always got some very good athletes. They've got a tight end who's very good. And, you know, I know they're going to want to be able to run the ball, and I know be able to throw the ball. You know, that's things they want to do. So the nice thing is, you know, they haven't changed a ton of what they do over the years. They get better at it. So I know our defense will have a great game plan for him. And, you know, offensively for us, going up against them, I'm sure, you know, they'll run an odd front, which we've seen quite a bit of. So we've got to make sure that guys are ready to go and squared away. And I think we'll have a pretty good shot.
Well, Coach Tuttle, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us today. Have a great week of practice, and good luck on Friday night against Washburn Rural.
All right, thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
That's Emporia High head football coach Keaton Tuttle joining us here on Saturday morning Sports Talk. Again, Emporia High on the short end of the scoreboard, 54-15, the final score last night, Wichita East defeating the Spartans. And listening to the game at halftime, Emporia High right there, but unfortunately it was, what, 22-14 at one time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately from that point on, really, or 22-15, I should say, 22-15. From that point on, Emporia High really struggled to get the, keep the offense going and really couldn't stop the Blue Aces.
Well, and the big play of that second quarter was the fourth down and four from the East 24, a little jet sweep by Kyle Obermeyer. And Kyle found a way to go through the left side and had some daylight to score. And at that point, Greg, I was like, okay, this is going to be a game. And then all of a sudden, Wichita East made a response, and it pushed it back to a two-score game. And I was thinking Emporia High had a shot to score before half, at least get a field goal. But then they had the holding call back when they had a 25-yard reception by Jackson Dial that was taken off of the – taken off. But, you know, it is what it is. But Wichita East, that is a young and talented team with Deontay Mitchell and their running back, Raviel League. They had some guys, and they're all youngsters. And the Mitchell kid receiving interest from both Wisconsin and Nebraska, that kid's going to get some offers. But you gotta like the fight that Ehi put up last night. If they get a couple more stops in the second half, then that could be a different ball game. And what if the mishandled punt doesn't happen? That's a completely different ball game as well.
Yeah. Other scores last night, first off involving the Centennial League teams, Manhattan manhandles Junction City 44-7, and Washburn Rural over Topeka High 66-6. Both of those maybe a you know, not the Manhattan one, but by the margin of victory. I caught me a little by surprise. I thought Junction City might give them a little more of a game, and I thought Topeka High might give Washburn Rural a little more of a game, but Washburn Rural just manhandled Topeka High last
night. And Manhattan won. They clinched the Centennial League last night, and, I mean, they got two games left against Lansing and Wichita Northwest, so Manhattan is really good in as advertised, and we saw that last week here, and they have a pretty good shot at getting back here to Welch Stadium at the end of November.
Other games last night involving area teams. The featured game last night on Country 101.7 FM, Lebo celebrating homecoming, and they had a happy homecoming, defeating Hartford 60-12, the final score in that one, a game that that ended at halftime. St. Paul defeated Meredithine Valley 50-0. Chase County holds on for a 40-38 win over Linden last night. That must have been a dandy over at Linden. But Chase County gets that victory. Madison defeated Caraparavel, and this is a football score, not a basketball score. 86-72 was the final score in that one, as Madison picks up a nice victory for them. They'll have a big showdown this next Friday night when they play at Burlingame. Burlingame defeated at Marmaton Valley 63-14. That's basically for the district championship.
Yeah, and the Lyon County League is on the line too, from what I was seeing on Twitter from Coach Slater.
So next Friday night, Madison at Burlingame, that will be our featured game on Country 101.7 FM. Olpe continues to roll after they made it through their early season gauntlet. They defeat Caney Valley 38-0. Central Heights defeats Northern Heights 48-0. Osage City defeats Humboldt 42-34 as they win that shootout. Burlington defeated Anderson County 33-19. Marion hands Council Grove their first loss of the season 46-15. Mission Valley defeats Oskaloosa 42-7. In six-man football action, Waverly, a 38-32 winner over Wetmore. Nice win for the Waverly Bulldogs. And Southern Coffee County unfortunately loses to Cunningham 57-6, the final score in that one. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll select our Main Street Athletes of the Week. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We are driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Men's Division I hockey started their 2022-23 season last week, and it continues with a full slate of games this weekend. The Denver Pioneers are the defending champions after defeating Minnesota State in last season's title game. Denver enters this season as the number one ranked team in the country in the coaches' poll. The Pioneers are also looking to become the first team to repeat as champions since Minnesota Duluth did it in 2018 and 2019. If Denver can't go back-to-back this year, look out for someone from their conference to take it from them. The National Collegiate Hockey Conference has won five of the last six championships in men's Division I hockey. Fellow NCHC members North Dakota, Minnesota Duluth, and St. Cloud State all enter the season ranked in the top 10. Coming up, we skate over to the action in women's hockey on This Week in the NCAA.
The winner serves all, deal.
Is this your queen?
Man, is that the fourth time?
I lost count.
But hold on. I'm a loving queen. I got McDonald's.
Big Mac and Quarter Pounder and McNuggets?
Long live the queen. There's a deal for every victory at McDonald's. Buy one of your faves, like a Big Mac, Quarter Pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets, and get another for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. The winner serves all, deal.
Is this your queen?
Man, is that the fourth time?
I lost count.
But hold on. I'm a loving queen. I got McDonald's.
Big Mac and Quarter Pounder and McNuggets?
Long live the queen. There's a deal for every victory at McDonald's. Buy one of your faves, like a Big Mac, Quarter Pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets, and get another for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood as we get set to pick our Main Street KVOE Athletes of the Week, and we'll start over on the Emporia High side and looking at this past week. Who are some of our nominees, Dylan?
So we got Diego Reyes, who had a pair of shutouts this week for the soccer team, and also Gio Garcilaso had two goals the other night, and Damian Garcilaso had, I believe he had two goals. As well against Breen Academy on Thursday. And I believe that's all on my all who I had on my mind. I know the volleyball team went 1-1 this week. The girls' golf team finished third at Manhattan on Monday. Tennis had the fifth place finish at league, with Callie Keough being the top finisher there. But I'm going to go with a senior in Diego Reyes as our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week. When you get two shutouts in a week, that's pretty good, especially when they play back-to-back, basically Tuesday and then only a day of practice and get ready for another one. And that game on Tuesday was impressive against Wichita Trinity, because all E-High needed was a penalty kick in the 47th minute to win that game 1-0.
So Diego Reyes, our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week. And then going to the area, you know, we could probably go with Bryson Turner of Madison again this week, but we like to share the wealth, so to speak. Bryson had a huge game last night for Madison in their 86-72 win over Caraparevale. I think he knocked down about 12 three-point shots and had a couple of blocks and maybe a dunk. But actually, he had over 400 yards of offense, nine touchdowns scored by Bryson Turner. He's turning Madison into a team that you don't want to mess with right now. They may have found the spot for him as he has another tremendous outing for the Madison Bulldogs. But we're going to go to the game that was played over in Linden, Chase County in Linden. And it's not because of a number of touchdowns scored or a number of runs, but it was a big play that was made towards the end of the game. In fact, it was the one that sealed the victory for the Chase County Bulldogs. Tucker Groh had a huge interception that kept Linden from trying to take the lead and win the ball game late in the contest, as Chase County held on for a 40-38 victory. So Tucker Groh, who has five interceptions on the season, a couple of pick sixes, he has a couple of kickoff returns for a touchdown during the season, but you talk to the Chase County coaches and you hear what they talk about, and they say a lot of good things about Tucker Groh. He had a couple catches last night, receiving-wise, for 16 yards, but that interception that sealed the victory for Chase County. Play of the game, play of the week for Chase County, and we're going to go with Tucker Groh for our Area Athlete of the Week.
Yeah, great win by Chase County. Handing Linden a second consecutive loss and doing it at Linden as well, that's pretty huge.
So Diego Reyes of the Emporia High boys soccer team, our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week, and Tucker Groh, Chase County football team, is our Area Athlete of the Week. Again, if you have an athlete in your family or on your team that you think had a performance that is worthy of recognition, email us here at kvoe@kvoe.com or rayg@kvoe.com, and we'll put those among our nominees as far as athletes of the week. We'll take all the nominations we can garner, and we'll then boil it down on Saturday mornings to determine who our athletes of the week are. But Tucker Groh of Chase County is our Area High School Athlete of the Week, and Diego Reyes of the Emporia High Boys Soccer Team is our Emporia High Athlete of the Week, all brought to you by Main Street, and they do produce a nice little plaque that we also get to the student-athletes as the season goes along. Also, while we're on the subject of football, stick with high school sports today over at the Emporia High Tennis Courts. Emporia High hosting a regional tournament. Top six singles players, top six doubles players will advance on to state after today's play. Sure, they're getting close to getting ready to get underway over at Emporia High. Monday, the Emporia High girls golf team will be hosting a regional tournament as well at the Emporia Golf Course. So if you had plans to play maybe Monday morning out at the golf course or Monday afternoon, you might have to put those on hold, as they'll be playing the 5A regional golf tournament. And then 4A state golf will be held at the Emporia Golf Course the following Monday and Tuesday. Again, state golf tournaments are now two-day events, and so you'll have to put that, if you had plans to head out to the Emporia golf course to get your rounds in. Just make sure that you're aware of when those tournaments are being played. Next Saturday is also Lyon County League Volleyball Tournament. Emporia High will be hosting their final big tournament before sub-state play gets underway. And we're getting down to the end of the season for some of these sports. And, of course, football's down to the final two regular season games with week number 9, basically a playoff game. So the fall sports season beginning to wind down. College football today, as we mentioned, Emporia State will be at home taking on Central Missouri. Emporia State coming off their nice win over Washburn last Saturday, as they had to hold on for the victory. And Central Missouri coming off their first victory last week. Even though they're 1-4, you talk to the Emporia State coaches, you talk to the Emporia State players, and they remember what happened to them last year. Emporia State had a nice lead on Central Missouri, but 6 turnovers ended up costing them, and Central Missouri came away with a victory in that contest. The Hornets remember that game, and so they're going to want to, one, continue the momentum that they built last week, and then, two, maybe avenge themselves from last year's game. But the Central Missouri football team, don't let their 1-4 record deceive you. When you look at the 5 teams that they have played this year, their first 4 games were against teams that were at that time or are now ranked nationally. So they got the heavy hitters out of the way early. They opened up with Pittsburgh State. They've also played Northwest Missouri State. They've also played Nebraska Kearney, and they also have played Washburn. All those games that they lost, and those teams were at one time either ranked or are ranked right now. Pittsburgh State, the only unbeaten team in the MIAA, and they have a big game today. They'll take on Northwest Missouri State, a matchup of 2 nationally ranked teams. And will Northwest Missouri State, will they be smarting? Because 2 weeks ago they lost at Central Oklahoma. Last week they had a dogfight with Missouri Western, ended up winning 16-3. They were trailing 3-0 at halftime of that game. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond and what they come out with, that game being played in Pittsburgh today. Other games in the MIAA today, Washburn, they play at Fort Hays State. Nebraska Kearney's at Missouri Western. Missouri Southern hosting Lincoln on Thursday night. Central Oklahoma routed Northeastern State 55-6. Big game to take place in Lawrence today. Matchup of 2 nationally ranked teams, Kansas ranked 19th, TCU ranked 17th, both undefeated. Kickoff at 11. ESPN Game Day is there. Who's going to be the picker?
Rob Riggle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw that yesterday, and I figured it would be someone like maybe Paul Rudd or Rob Riggle. I know Bill Self's going to be making an appearance on game day. Lance Leipold's also going to make an appearance on game day as well. But, I was thinking it was some celebrity-type picker, and KU announced it yesterday around 2 o'clock that Rob Riggle was going to be the guest picker. And if you had money on Rob Riggle being the guest picker, you win.
And then, again, that kicks off at 11 o'clock. Our coverage starts at 9:30 here on KVOE. Tonight, Kansas State is at Iowa State. Farmageddon, Kansas State coming off their win over Texas Tech. Iowa State looking to see if maybe they can't reestablish themselves. That's a 6:30 kickoff. We'll broadcast the game on Country 101.7 FM with that coverage starting at 4:30. Also today in the Big 12, ho-hum, Texas plays Oklahoma. Guess what? Neither of them are ranked.
And Greg, I saw this morning. Texas is a 9-point favorite, the largest odds for Texas since, I believe, 2005. So one of those teams is hungry for a win, especially when that matchup is going against KU and TCU on TV at 11 a.m., I mean, who's going to watch Texas, Oklahoma, 2 unranked teams, and then you got 2 ranked teams playing in Lawrence?
And then also today in the Big 12, Oklahoma State hosting Texas Tech. Among the ranked games that are taking place today, Tennessee at LSU, Utah at UCLA, Georgia hosting Auburn. Ohio State's at Michigan State, Michigan at Indiana, those are, and Clemson's at Boston College, those are in the top five. We'll take our next break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, and when we come back, we'll include our visit with Mitch Holtis here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We are driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Home inventory in the Emporia area continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Lock in a fixed rate for up to 60 days and begin shopping for the home of your dreams. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Gray along with Dylan Sherwood as we await our visit with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, who have a showdown with the Oakland Raiders on Monday night, coming off the big Sunday night win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But before we get to Mitch, is he hitting yet? Nope. Okay, we're still waiting for Mitch. Congratulations to the Emporia State soccer team. Big win for them last night, knocking off the number three ranked team in the country, Central Missouri. 3-1 the final score. If you're putting that in football vernacular, they beat Central Missouri 21-7 last night. So big win for them. As Asta Kristin Dofish, who's a freshman from Iceland, scored the first goal of her career, college career, to give Emporia State a 1-0 lead in the 19th minute of play. And then Central would tie it before halftime, but in the second half it was all Emporia State as both Aislinn Hughes and Mackenzie DeMarco score a couple of goals for Emporia State. And Mackenzie DeMarco adds to what she did last week. She had back-to-back hat tricks, 6 goals in victories last week over Northwest Missouri State and a victory over Missouri Western. First player in MIAA history to record back-to-back hat tricks. So she now has 12 goals on this season, and hopefully the Lady Hornets are now headed in the right direction with that big win. They'll be at Missouri Southern on Sunday, and then next week they return home as they'll close out the rest of the season with home matches. So they'll be at home to see if they can't continue to run their winning streak going. They are 3-0-3 in MIAA play. They are undefeated in conference action, but they do have 3 ties, but they also have 3 wins, and that puts them in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and got to give props to Coach Seiler and company, with the tough schedule that they had at the start. But going to Central Missouri, where they won the MIAA tournament last year, and going back there and making another memory there. So Warrensburg must be a good place for Brian Seiler and company.
At least for this group of players, they've found a way to get those victories over Central Missouri. Emporia State volleyball team last night, they also hosted Central Missouri, won the first set, 28-26. Next two sets, a little bit closer, 25-18, 25-16, Central Missouri with the wins, but that final fourth set, things did not go Emporia State's way. It kind of took a step backwards. They'll see if they can't maybe pick up where they left off after the first, second, and third set last night. They'll be hosting Missouri Western this evening. First serve is set for 7 o'clock, and in case you're wondering, well, why are they playing at 7 o'clock tonight? Well, there's a football game that's going to be played over at Welch Stadium between Emporia State and Central Missouri, and they need to give the people who do the game day work a chance to make the transition from football over to volleyball and give them a chance to maybe take a deep breath and get set up for that. Also this past week, before we go any further, I did want to say congratulations to John Lohmeyer, former Emporia State Hornet and former Kansas City Chief. He'll be honored along with Kansas City Chiefs greats Duron Cherry, Christian Okoye, and Otis Taylor, along with sports agent Lee Steinberg, as part of the Derek Thomas Neil Smith III and Long Foundation when they present an evening with greats on Thursday, October 13th. The Derek Thomas and Neil Smith III and Long Foundation strives to tackle illiteracy by providing support necessary to improve reading skills of students in the greater Kansas City area. But a nice honor for John Lohmeyer. He'll be honored as part of that Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, III and Long Foundation presentation on Thursday night. With that, we welcome in Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit with Isabella Lopez and Jared Gurman about the ease of obtaining a home mortgage loan and the ease of obtaining a credit union mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS 4242-26. Good morning, Mitch.
Very well done. Good pacing. Because you hit how, you know, credit unions and Emporia State Federal Credit Union can handle their home mortgage loan, and you did it pacing-wise. You were ready to go too fast and create a turnover, but you stayed right there and applied a good pace to it and scored a touchdown. Well done. And congratulations to John Lohmeyer. You know, a couple of our Emporia State Chief tie-ins.
Yes. Yeah, we had a chance to we had a weather delay with our first home game that lasted, or our second home game that lasted well over a couple of hours. And I had a chance to visit with him, and he shared some of his stories of his playing days with the Chiefs, how at one training camp he was roommates with Lynn Dawson. And got a chance to meet Lynn and get to know Lynn Dawson. And had a great visit with John Lohmeyer, an outstanding individual and a well-deserved honor for him.
Yeah, and a great guy. He stayed very connected, obviously, in the community and been a public servant. So, yeah, he's a good representative of the Chiefs and of Emporia State.
Well, are you ready for Monday night?
Yeah. Pretty much. Ready to go in this one. And your Monday Night Football, Raiders, that's all you have to know. But it's just interesting. The Chiefs, you can only play in five different time slots, Greg. You can only play Thursday nights, Sunday at noon, Sunday at 3-ish, Sunday night or Monday night. And the Chiefs now will have played in all five time slots in their first five games of the season.
Wow.
So it's been a little bit nerve-wracking of figuring out, is this a Thursday or Tuesday? Or I mean, this is a Saturday, but it's really a Friday. Anyway, it's just been interesting, and it shows, and I'm going to do a minute with Mitch on it next week, the popularity of the Chiefs and how it's grown, where the NFL partners have one of the Chiefs in their time slots, and we've seen that in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Well, if you're any of those partners, whether it be ESPN, Amazon, CBS, NBC,
Fox.
It's, you know, when you can get Patrick Mahomes making plays like he did on Sunday night against Tampa Bay, That draws viewers. People want to see that stuff. And Patrick Mahomes, I'll be honest, I'm so happy that the Chiefs have the quarterback that's making those plays.
Well, and he's just who he is in his persona. Our growth, we're now, of all the measurements, I'm kind of getting into my minute with Mitch next week, but the NFL markets who watches, who attends, who listens, and then who engages on social media. And so the Chiefs have risen to sixth overall in popularity, but there's another cool stat where the Chiefs are the number one second favorite team. Now follow me on that one. So let's say you're a Packers fan, but I also like the Chiefs. It's the also like the team that the Chiefs have now risen to be the second best. And so that's kind of fun to follow. A lot of it's due to Mahomes, but the Chiefs have become, you know, must listen to radio. They become must listen to TV. They or see TV in the fact that they are not just Mahomes. There's some other things to them. That in fact that this defense now will create explosive plays. They did last week with the Chris Jones fumble recovery on the Snead slot blitz. They did twice against the Colts and almost allowed them to win the game. They're 99-yard pick six. I mean, there's a lot to this Chiefs team that helps the drama part and why they're so intriguing.
It's kind of interesting for me when I watch the Chiefs on Sunday, because occasionally I'll say, you know, I saw this game on Saturday, and Emporia State gets the victory over Washburn. They had a big lead over Washburn, and Washburn made a little bit of a charge. But then you watch the Chiefs on Sunday night, and they get a nice lead over Tampa Bay. And unfortunately, I didn't get to watch that because I was taking in the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. We had four people with Emporia ties inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame last Sunday.
Cool. That's so awesome.
And but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I was looking around at some tables, and there were a couple people that had their tablets out, and they were watching the Chiefs game. And the Chiefs get off to a nice start, and, boy, that makes a huge difference.
For sure. Just the opposite of the Colts game, which was the 180-degree version of that, where the Chiefs fumble and muff a punt after getting the Colts three and out in their first series and just hand the ball to the Colts at the four-yard line. This was just the opposite, where, interestingly, the Kansas City kid, Rashad White, went to Center High School and then played it. Well, he was redshirting at Nebraska Kearney. He never played against you guys. And then he transferred out of there. But he fumbles the opening kickoff, and the Chiefs were basically in control of that Tampa Bay game. I'm guessing in your Washburn game, I don't know all the details of it, but you had the sense that Emporia State was in control, even though Washburn was trying to make a run. It felt like, yeah, hey, the Hornets had this the whole night. And that's the way the Chiefs were against Tampa Bay. That's hard to do against Tampa Bay. And that defense, which the offensive line for the Chiefs was spectacular, but also against a Tom Brady team. Rarely in his life has he had not control of a game where he was playing uphill all the time. And by the way, if Brady does retire, he will end with a losing record in the regular season against the Chiefs with 5 wins and 6 losses.
Well, Mitch, just tell me just how the special teams just kind of had that bounce back, especially with the way the game started. And, of course, a new kicker in there as well. You know, just talk about how the special teams found a way to bounce back, especially going against Tom Brady.
It's an excellent question because I think it can be overshadowed with the other plays in the fact that the special teams were frankly embarrassed against the Colts. They got whipped in all three of the four phases. Tommy Townsend won his. Tommy Townsend right now is number one in the NFL in net punting and number two in gross punting. But the other three, I mean, kickoff coverage was terrible. And so then to get that turned around against the Buccaneers, against a really good roster, because your special teams test your entire roster. But for the Chiefs to command, get the turnover on the kickoff coverage, but then command every other phase, they almost got a kickoff return for a touchdown from Pacheco right at the end of the half. When, I mean, I don't know what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would have fired their special teams coach at 4 seconds to go in the half, and Pacheco, the kicker's the only guy that stops him, or the punter, who was the kicker in this instance in Camarda. And then Matthew Wright, his ability to be so good after Matt Amendola was so bad against the Colts. Now, Matthew Wright, if you walked into your studio right now, you're thinking he hey, did you get your tux for the Libro prom? Because he looks like he's about 15 years old. I mean, you're going, wow, did you get a date for homecoming, dude? He was sitting on the plane, and people that were guests and suite holders were like, who's that? Is that somebody's son? No, that's our kicker. He's ready to go, and he kicked great. But it's an excellent question, and it was the special teams group took it personally after playing so poorly against the Colts.
Did you feel like, with a 20-17 lead at the break, you knew Brady and company had a chance, but just how do you think the Chiefs made the adjustments there in the second half?
Yeah, was it 28-17? I was thinking we were up two possessions. It might have been 28-17. I think we put a 28 burger on him in the first half.
Yeah.
But to your point, anytime Tom Brady runs on the field, you're thinking, wow, you're never out of it, right? Or have it captured. But still, the Chiefs were in control. Now, what was interesting was Tampa Bay decided to make that into a 7-on-7 practice in St. Joseph. They threw the ball 27 straight times, did Brady and the Bucks. And I found that perplexing. I mean, you just can't do that at any level, just be one-dimensional on your own choosing. The Chiefs were up only 28-17. So it wasn't like they couldn't just fashion a drive together and make it 28-24, and then you flip the tension of that game, but they didn't. And then a lot of their throws of those 27 were shorter throws, bubble screens, check downs to the running backs, middle little spot routes, and the Chiefs were tackling them. And they were only getting 4 or 5 or less yards on those plays. And so the Chiefs' defense was able to stop those plays, which that was also overlooked, was how good the open field tackling was. But still, the Chiefs were in control of that game. And you never felt like, well, gosh, here comes Brady and the Chiefs won't have a shot.
You mentioned it earlier, the play of the Chiefs' offensive line. And hopefully we can see that the rest of the season from those guys.
Yeah, that's where, and I don't care if it's ESU today or the rest of the year, the offensive line really sets the tone for the whole game. And the Colts pretty much worked them over. And the offensive line took that personally as well. Wiley was the only guy left from Super Bowl 55. The other four didn't play in that game, which was an embarrassment for the offensive line in that game. But the offensive line was really, of all this discussion we've had, they're the ones that go to the lead paragraph because they showed their fangs from the first snap all the way through. And hopefully they can do that again on Monday night against the Raiders.
Well, speaking of the Raiders, what can we expect to see from the guys from Las Vegas?
Well, let's start on the defensive side. Max Crosby is an animal. The Raiders are 31st in the league at a 32 in sacks. They only have 5. Max Crosby has 4 of the 5. He leads defensive linemen in numbers of tackles. He leads the NFL in tackles for losses. He has been a one-man crew for them defensively. It's been part of their problem because where is Chandler Jones? They spent a lot of money on him to get him a pride away from the Arizona Cardinals, and he's been non-existent, but he could wake up at any time. They have an active middle linebacker in Denzel Perryman. The back end is really kind of where they've struggled. But if you don't account for Max Crosby, you've got a problem. On the offensive side, it's interesting. They kind of went Smith Center last week on the Denver Broncos because they had 2 guys touch the ball in their advancements. It's nuts. Of most of the 75% of their advancements. So advancement obviously equals runs versus completions. And against the Broncos, the Raiders had 59 of those. 44 of the 59, I don't think I've seen this before in the NFL, 44 of the 59 were from 2 guys. Josh Jacobs ran it 28 times. He caught 6 passes. And then Davante Adams had 9 catches. That adds up to my math right at 44. But the point is they centered their whole approach around 2 guys. And now they're getting Hunter Renfro back, really good slot receiver for this game. But I think that's where Josh McDaniels, what he has done, you guys, is just said, we're going to get down to the very basics here. We're going to start with Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams and move out from there.
So what are the keys for Chiefs victory on Monday night?
Well, I think we've got them. We've kind of gone through them here a bit subtly. I think it's the offensive line coming out with their showing teeth again. And for the Chiefs, if they get that done and winning the trenches on the offensive side, they're hard to stop because the Chiefs are running the ball now. They're not only running it with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they're running it with Isaiah Pacheco. The three tight ends have all been effective. The Chiefs have played a lot of three tight end looks. They will continue to do so, but that doesn't mean they're just going to power run out of it. They'll throw the ball as well because Fortson and Noah Gray are receivers as much as Kelsey. On the defensive side, it is a matter of, this sounds so seventh grade football, but it is tackling. You have got to be able to tackle Josh Jacobs and get people to the ball. And last year, Josh Jacobs had 57 broken tackles, which was third most by a running back. And he's healthy and running at it again. So you've got to start with the nucleus of their Adam, which is, no pun intended, don't let Davante Adams get crazy on you. But it really starts with Josh Jacobs in the run game and the short passing game. And then back to the other point was dominate special teams. Hard to do because Daniel Carlson's the best kicker in the league for the Raiders. Their punter, A.J. Cole, is okay. I guess he's got a new special teams coach that's trying to mess with his mechanics. But the return game needs to be dominant for the Chiefs. And then try to jump on these guys early. 2 years ago, the Chiefs were ambushed by the Raiders. That's the famous let's drive the bus around the stadium game by John Gruden. But the Raiders ambushed them. They jumped on the Chiefs with some deep passes and got ahead 14-0, if I'm not mistaken. And it was just the opposite of what we talk about, where you're working uphill instead of downhill.
Well, Mitch, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a great call on Monday night. And we look forward to talking about a Chiefs victory over the Raiders next Saturday.
Have we heard from Tim yet, or is he in a gutter or arrested, or is he passed out on the hill, or what have we heard from Tim yet?
He's enjoying game day in Lawrence.
You know, and he deserves that because he's been he's not the bandwagon guy. He's been there through thin and thin over these past, 15 seasons. So enjoy, Tim. Soak it in, buddy. Just not too much. We want you back.
Yeah. He'll be back next Saturday.
Douglas County authorities. Yeah.
Thanks, Mitch.
See you guys.
That's Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on Saturday morning. Sports Talk is appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage leader. Ask Isabella Lopez and Jared German about a credit union mortgage and the ease of getting a mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 4242-26. Well, we're running almost out of time. KU pregame starts at 9:30 as the Jayhawks take on TCU. And with that, we'll hope to see you out at Welch Stadium this afternoon as the Hornets take on Central Missouri. That's a 1 o'clock kick. And go Hornets. Stingers up. Go Jayhawks. Rock chalk. And good luck to the Kansas State Wildcats as well. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia. From ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Russia says a truck bomb that set off...